Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, April 3rd. How do we welcome new neighbors? How do we welcome and care for our neighbors? Do we have a duty, a responsibility as Christians to care for our neighbors, particularly when they come from a country or a culture about which we know very little? How do we care for them, and how do we welcome them? What is our duty as Christians? Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Dr. Stanish Stanley with Christian Friends of New Americans. Stanish, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you very much, though, for having me.
And a familiar voice that we haven't heard for a little bit here on KFUO, our friend Joni Harwell. Joni, welcome back.
Thanks, Andy. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you both in studio today talking about CFNA, Christian Friends of New Americans. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, KFUO.org. Look for Concordia University, Wisconsin. Christian Friends of New Americans, time for a little update on what's going on with CFNA. Stanish, what Christian Friends of New Americans, an organization here in St. Louis, welcoming our neighbors. Tell me a little bit about the history of CFNA and your work.
Well, thank you. Many of you might be knowing, Christian Friends of New Americans has been around for quite a while, especially in this present form, maybe since 2006. But even prior to that, it started with work amongst the Bosnians who were coming into the St. Louis city area somewhere in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then moved over continuously to different groups because the refugees and the immigrants coming into the country or into St. Louis are so diverse. So it moved into Nigerians, Ethiopians, Liberians, Eritreans, Sierra Leoneans, and it has kind of gone through the entire spectrum over there. Since 2006, CFNA has been operating off of South Grand Boulevard, and the Peace Center, the building where we work off of, has been able to kind of get in touch with a lot of refugees who are in the area, because that's where the International Institute, which is the premier contract agency for refugees here in St. Louis from the U.S. government, they kind of bring them here. And so what has happened is that we've reached out to the Nepali people who have been coming in large numbers during the late 2000s, the opening decade of the 2000s. And we've kind of had success with them. They have moved into some of our Lutheran churches, like, for example, Ascension, Messiah, St. John's, Morganford, and the city of St. Louis. But we have continuously kind of served, irrespective of whether these people are Christian or whether they are Hindu or Muslim or whatever. And that's what God calls us to do. So Christian Friends of New Americans basically has always kept its mission very solely focused on the mandate that we receive in John chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. It is, to sum up the entire thing, it is God calls us as friends, and he calls us to bear fruit. And so how do we as friends bear fruit by touching our neighbor, who are basically refugees and immigrants in the city of St. Louis? And that's what we've done presently. To just update you, we've reached out to our Syrian refugees who have come in. We have somewhere around 60 or 70 Syrian people who come to the Peace Center, have been touched by it. Their kids come to the after-school tutoring. Families come for things like ESL, English as second language, driving ESL, and also, interestingly, for heart-to-heart Bible studies, the LWML Bible studies that we have, and even the health and wellness screening. So this is exciting times for CFNA. Of course, it's challenging because it's a totally different group that we are dealing with, and different language, not only language, but also a Muslim culture that we've got to encounter. But We do so with the confidence that God blesses initiatives that go out in His name, and it is through our volunteers and willing people who are listening, for instance, who are our donors and supporters, that that this work continues.
So CFNA really cares for our neighbor in a variety of ways. You mentioned English language, English as a second language, and after school tutoring. What are some other ways that CFNA has in the past or presently serves your neighbor?
A lot of credit should go to our founders and also to people who have been friends from the earliest beginnings of CFNA. The Buckmans come to mind definitely because they have been at the forefront of all this. Dr. Alan Buckman and Mrs. Carol Buckman and their friends who are still kind of big supporters of CFNA and this ministry. But also they've kind of set up these programs like the ones that I mentioned earlier. But all this has been done with an ear to listening to what are the needs of the community. And that's very important. You cannot just go out there and do programs and expect people to come in. It's more about listening. And we have, they have been very good at making sure that we have ministry facilitators who are basically people with authenticity and credibility within the ethnic communities who are coming into CFNA, who are our listening boards, as so to speak. They kind of bring in those voices of the needs of the community to us. And then we do the best we can with the limited resources that we have. We are not an organization with lots of money or government funding or anything, but it's very much driven by Christian service and donations. And so what has happened is that some of the activities, like whether it is reaching out through the health and wellness screenings or welcome donation packages that we give out, these are some of the things that we've done. And also continuous associations with various Lutheran churches. For instance, some of the ones that come to mind are the earliest ones like Messiah, Christ Memorial, Webster Gardens, Lutheran Church, Concordia Kirkwood, a very big one too. Now, these are important churches, those partnerships, getting people to from these congregations to volunteer and also to touch the lives of people have been influential or impactful in serving our new Americans at various stages of their needs. For instance, one that immediately comes to mind is furniture donations. Now, these donations or clothes or whatever comes from these churches, from believers here in St. Louis, Lutheran, as well as even beyond of this Lutheran community, the larger Christian community. And so those things have been put in place with the intention naturally of touching the lives of people. As you said, people in need, touching families, even our client families, and also through that, you know, helping and strengthening our faith.
Joni, why have you and others become a part of Christian Friends of New Americans and helped in serving our neighbors?
Well, I think it's the same thing that Stanish said. It's people coming in need, and as Christ calls us to share our love with others, and the way we can do that, and there are simple ways. You know, we don't have to say, oh my goodness, I have to go over to that country, or I have to understand them. I have to understand their background and everything. No, just go wherever you're called and serve. Some people work with English as a second language. As Pastor Stanish said, some work with the health and wellness. And, you know, what I've been amazed at, now they have driving classes. They're actually teaching these people how to be good drivers. But I think the key thing is here, what Pastor Stanish said, instead of we as Americans making up a program for people, they are listening to what the needs are, and the program is based on what the needs are, what their requests are. And I think that's such a key thing, because that's also important to these people. They're saying, oh, these people are really interested in what my needs are. They're not telling me this is what you need to do. And I think, you know, one great way for me was, I remember reading an article that was in one of the CFNA magazines, and it talked about a gentleman was standing on the corner from another country by a light, And he kept just watching the traffic go by and looking at the light until some people came along and the light turned green and they crossed the street. And then he finally knew that's when he could cross the street. We don't think about that. You know, you think somebody comes from another country, they understand red means stop, green means go, but they don't. Those are simple things. So that's why I enjoy seeing Stanage be part of it. I enjoy helping with some of the programs that I can help with in raising funds for CFNA, because I do think it's a very important program that's going on here in St. Louis. It's an outreach to people from other countries, and it's showing them Christ's love in simple ways.
Stanage, you mentioned that the Peace Center operates in South Grand. Mm-hmm. Describe for me what the neighborhood. Why is the South Grand area a good place for the Peace Center and the great work of CFNA?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, many of the things, I come from India and I myself kind of am learning about South Grand. I've been very fortunate to stay with my American mom who's sitting here over here, Joni Harwell. They've been very kind to me and we stay in Clayton. And so I did not really realize the difference between Clayton and even South Grand for that matter. But now I do know. In fact, it is on the lower income spectrum of the city. There are houses which are not the greatest. But at the same time, we do know that people with low income housing also need a place to live. And so South Grand is that area where many families are trying their best to make ends meet, to raise a family and to have a better life. In fact, the International Institute is just maybe within 2 or 3 miles of the Peace Center. And earlier it was even nearer to the Peace Center. And it's on South Grand. It's now in the Arsenal area. The interesting thing is that most of the immigrants who come, or the refugees who are brought in by the International Institute are homed or housed in these areas near around the Peace Center, the South Grand area. And so it is just the right place for the Peace Center, for this LCMS Registered Service Organization, CFNA, to be, to reach out to these immigrants and refugees mainly. For instance, the after-school tutoring program that we have brings in all these kids, and it makes it easier for us to kind of bring them to the Peace Center because they are so nearby. It makes it possible for volunteers also to know that, hey, there is this place called South Grand, which is not the greatest, but still it is an excellent place where you can touch the lives of people and hopefully in the future bring about those new Americans or those future Americans who will contribute to the greatness of America that is still alive and kicking. So it is a great transformational need in that community, and CFNA stands as one of those centers where these things happen. For instance, I should highlight the SLU University, St. Louis University, brings in students to the Peace Center and kind of interacts with their after-school tutoring kids, because we are one of their sites for city transformation. And that is precisely the reason why the Peace Center is in a good location, where the faith of our believers can be put into action, can influence, impact, and change community, and probably South Grand and the South City South Side of St. Louis City for the better.
Joni, you look like you have something to add to that.
Well, Pastor Stanage said, for the betterment of American society as well. These people are interested in coming and having freedom. Many of these people have suffered for many, many years in their countries and in refugee camps, and they want to come. They don't want to come and pull down society. They see America as a place where they can live a better life. And many of them are just so thankful and so grateful. But you can't just leave them out there, almost like they're floating on an island by themselves, because they have to understand what our country is about and how things work in our country. And then, as Pastor Stanage said, they become better citizens in the United States as well. But I'd like Pastor Stanage to tell us a little bit about the people who have, I mean, a number of people have joined our churches as a result, people who were not Christians before. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for making that note over there for me to kind of add in. Yes, we've had somewhere in the past, at least in the past 7-8 years, we've had somewhere in the numbers of between 150 to 170 baptisms and confirmations coming from these communities. Our biggest success has been with the Nepali population. They were loosely Hindu or some kind of Christian in the refugee camps, were not really sure of their identity, and have moved over into the Lutheran churches. So Ascension Lutheran Church, Messiah Lutheran Church, and St. John's Morgenfort, who are our partner congregations, pick up most of our Nepali crowd. We've also had successes with the African side of the population. Now, that's a mixed group because we have Liberians, Sierra Leoneans, Ethiopians, and all of them in it. And they go to a Timothy Lutheran Church, our fourth partner congregation. So these congregations, of course, pick up our clientele, whoever goes through the through our center and is willing to join a church. But here I should also mention that it is important to keep in mind that the support that has been provided by other organizations, like, say, as I said, Christ Memorial of Webster Gardens, or even Concordia Kirkwood, another important one, the Lutheran Foundation, very, very vital and very significant in making these outreach opportunities possible, and enabling these communities that are, and people who are coming into the churches, to feel at home and to be a part of our faith family is absolutely crucial, and they can never be forgotten. That's very important for us.
How has this outreach through Christian Friends of New Americans shaped the landscape of South City churches, and mm-hmm. and the what a Lutheran church looks like in South City, St. Louis these days? And what does that mean for this gospel ministry in South City?
Mm-hmm. Well, to answer that question, the best persons would be probably the church pastors, like sure. Pastor Matt Clark, mm-hmm. who does a wonderful program here at KFUO, and also pastors like Pastor Bill Wilson, Pastor Rawl, and Pastor O'Kine, and Pastor Danny. But I can say that it is always a learning experience for Americans to welcome new Americans into their congregations, because it's a cultural crossing point. And there is this interaction which can have frictions, but also there is opportunity. And the great thing about these congregations is that they are willing to open up and allow these friends to come in and become a part of their own faith family and go together in this walk of faith. With a specific reply to how the churches look like, well, I can give the example of Ascension. The Nepali population, which amounts to maybe 70 or 80 Nepali people who are members at Ascension, they gather together for the first Sunday when they have Holy Communion, and they worship together with the American congregation at Ascension. But the other three Sundays, they come together and worship at Nepali at the Peace Center. We have a small chapel over there, and they use that as the worship in space. But it's all about a different way of Lutheran worship. It's more charismatic, so to speak, but the theology is Lutheran. So it's an interesting learning experience for everybody involved. Yeah.
And I think that's really an interesting way to do it, the fact that the Nepalis worship at Ascension one Sunday, and then because it's kind of a growing together, I think. The other three Sundays, they have their own service, but I can see that eventually they will come together probably more in the future, especially maybe as you have another generation or whatever. But instead of forcing everyone together in one way, I think this is really a smart way that they're doing. Yet at other places, I think the Ethiopians and some of the others who worship at Timothy mm-hmm. worship there every Sunday, mm-hmm. but they may have their own service. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of learning that we can share things together, while at the same time they may hold on to some of their ethnic background, maybe their singing, their hymns, things like that, But there's a coming together, a starting to learn. I'm sure it was very much the way it was when many of the Germans, my father, came over from Germany. I'm sure it was the same way back then. And then as the next generation was raised up, we came more together. But it was still a loving Christ, even though they may not have worshipped in the same dialect or whatever at that time.
Sure. I mean, imagine that the language in which we speak and even think, that can serve as a barrier to some. So to be able to, as you mentioned, Joni, in future generations, as language becomes less of a barrier and we see, you know, subsequent generations that are more bilingual and perhaps then eventually worshiping in one language. Mm-hmm. But even bilingual, I've seen some of and heard some of the bilingual opportunities where they've gathered together at Ascension. And mm-hmm. Pastor Clark has referenced mm-hmm. those as well from time to time, and the opportunities to gather around God's word, receive his good gifts, regardless of whatever language right. they may mm-hmm. be using.
Well, and I encourage people to visit these congregations. I know Stanish and I, actually before he became involved with CFNA, we went to see the baptisms mm-hmm. at Ascension Lutheran Church, and he and I came out of there so excited to see these people from Nepal being baptized. What an exciting thing that was happening. So I encourage people to come to the churches, visit the congregations, and learn what is happening. But I want to, before we end this, because one of the main reasons we're here today is I want to encourage people who are listening today and tell your friends about it. Christian Friends of New Americans is having their third annual 5K run fun walk. Actually, they're adding a 5K run to it this year. It's a fun walk Saturday, May 6th at Concordia Seminary. I'm doing the fun walk. 5K doesn't sound like fun to me, but the fun walk does sound like fun. And it starts at 10 o'clock. You register at 9, but you can register online if you go to cfna-stl.org/walk, W-A-L-K. That's cfna-stl.org/WALK, or you can call 314-517-8513. And we're really asking a lot of people to come out for this walk. This is a way that you can help support CFNA. The cost is $10 per person, or $25 for a family. It's not a cost, it's a donation that you're making. And if you register before April 12th, you can actually order a t-shirt. It's $10. And call before April 12th. That's 314-517-8513. I think you can even buy that t-shirt if you're not even walking, although we'd like you to be there to walk with us too. But this is a great way to support this outreach ministry. And there will be people there from Christian Friends of New Americans. New Americans, is that correct, Pastor?
That is correct. We will have many of our new American friends who will come and join the walk, and also probably hopefully run, especially the kids. I believe they would at least give it a try. But over here, I should mention that we live in an age where health and wellness is very important, and many, many people are interested in that. But this is health and wellness of our soul, of our faith, and of our life. And as Joni Aunty was saying, I also would strongly urge and encourage each and every one of our listeners to put out the word out in their churches, to among their friends, to come out and support this fun walk. It is for CFNA fundraiser. Even though this is a fundraiser, it is always a friendraiser.
Yes.
And we want to raise awareness about this ministry and this calling that God gives us to go out and share the gospel message. So for the health and wellness of our faith life, please come and join us and participate in this fun walk and a 5K run if you're interested on May 6th.
It is wheelchair accessible too. We wanted to let you know that. So There's no reason not to come and participate.
Rain or shine, Saturday, May 6th. And let's see, you check in registration at 9 a.m. that morning, start at 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Find more information at cfna-stl.org/walk. And come join Joni and Reverend Dr. Stanish Stanley and other Christian Friends of New Americans at the Concordia Seminary campus here in St. Louis. Is that right?
That is correct. And I have to put in a word over here to say that CFNA is a place of Christian volunteerism. And I must give a shout out or a word of thanks to our committee, which kind of takes care of this 5K run, especially our main person. The person who heads up this committee is not here, Mr. Harold Melzer, but he has been instrumental and he has worked a lot in making this thing happen and come together. And so other members like Jacob Monke, Laura Brink, Diana Wolf from Webster Gardens, the Buckmans, of course, are always there. But please come and join us and meet this team too, and please encourage us. We want to know that you are part of our ministry too, and of this outreach.
And CFNA can always use more volunteers too.
Definitely. My guest today, Joni Harwell. Joni, thanks so much for coming back over today.
Thank you.
The Reverend Dr. Stanish Stanley, thanks so much for sharing with us about CFNA today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, it is National Volunteer Month. We'll learn more about that on The Messenger of Good News.